Shall we, everybody? This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you with us tonight. This is a beautiful day here in East Tennessee. It's been lovely. And we hope that you're feeling good and you're quite comfortable where you are, wherever that you are listening to us tonight on Truth Radio. We're live and direct here. This is the 22nd day of March and the year 2002. Praise Yahweh. We're just moving right along in time and truth. Ladies and gentlemen, we believe in the last days that truth will be the ultimate source that will deliver Jacob Israel. Now, we're destroyed for the lack of truth. We're saved by the abundance of truth. And the more people that get to truth, you see, if we could get on national television, which is the prime medium, if you will, of carrying the message, of course, we know that we wouldn't get to stay there long with the way that we have to teach because of the controversy and the uproar that would ensue. We know that they guard, we're talking about the enemy, they guard their traditions zealously. They're not going to let truth tear down the walls of fear, ignorance, and superstition of the dumb sheep that they've got corralled, if you will, into their bell box prisons where they teach them the mainline Judeo-Christian politically correct agenda of a 501(c). Now, let's get into the show tonight. Let's go into Genesis 46, where we left off last night. We're going to see how that Jacob Israel was infested. And I hate to say this, ladies and gentlemen, because it's an embarrassing on my part, probably as well as you. We've got to confess, and we've got to look at the truth here as it is. Remember, I took you to John last night, and we read the scriptures in John chapter 8 in particular, where it said, they said, we be Abraham's seed. And then Christ acknowledged, I know that you're Abraham's children. So then, how could they be Abraham's children and be wrong? Because that's what we're actually teaching tonight, that we are descending from Abraham. Well, that's true. But there is a mixed race in Abraham. And these mixed race people are the ones we're going to identify tonight as we close out this five-part series on how the snake got into the house of Israel. Now, there is about four or five more messages in the new parchment, if you will, on how the snake operated. I get into the book and tell you and show you how that Judas, one of the disciples chosen by Christ, remember, he chose 11, and one of them was a devil. Now, the word Judas is Hellenized, meaning that its original word was that Judah was from the, we believe, the tribe of Yehuda. Now, how could he have been that, brother buddy? Well, we'll get into that just in a minute here. Let me go back again, and let me peg this truth one more time. Genesis 46 and 10. The sons of Simeon, 10th verse, Shaul, S-H-A-U-L, the son of a Canaanitish woman, was one of the sons that was taken down into the land of Egypt. Now, they were down there over 200 years, so we have a 200-year expansion here, if you will, from this seed of Shaul. Also, the sons of Judah, Er, Onan. Remember, I told you last night that Er and Onan were killed. We'll probably go to the 38th chapter and set you up for that and let you look at that, praise Yahweh. We know that most of you Bible students have already been there, checked it out, and visited that site quite often. Praise y'all in your search. If you are a true blue bloodhound, praise Yahweh. Now, what does that mean? That means if you are interested in how the tiny blood come into the house of Israel. It is the same scenario, ladies and gentlemen, of Genesis chapter 3. Satan himself, that old serpent, the devil, the archangel, the beautiful one, had to exalt his genetic seed offspring above that which Yahweh had to offer in the earth, because Satan really knew from the word God the uniqueness of Yahweh would be a piece of cake to take the kingdom away from him, because, you know, we have a cat of Jacob. We're the only seed that can blush. The book of Nehemiah and Ezra, it talks about blushing. Moody, red, and able to show blood in the face. That's actually what an Israelite is. And change from white to red. I know I'm easily embarrassed. You're probably going to laugh at that. I show color in the face real fast when I'm excited, when I'm highlighted, and like just for instance, the speaker convention. I blush and show color in the face and the humility, I guess, that comes with this job to stand before some of the great ones that I know, the men's great disciples, one that I love, cherish, and look up to. I think to get started, you can't stop as it goes. And however, we have a unique weakness in our cat's nature, and sheep need someone to follow. And so he became the goat, and he stuck us in. Actually, what Satan has done to the rear end of the caboose, and so this week or the in train in caboose, and he himself, he's at the throttle up here on the big locomotive. Setting up kings and choosing kings and to run his kingdom down here. And we have said the problem here in America, the warning flags is up. We are clean. The whiplash of the caboose is about to, you know, when we hit the wall, and we're going to, this turn for a long way. So we're in I am pushing the alarm button 50 years in advance. So a lot of my peers will say, Pastor Buddy, it's not going to carry on for 50 years. And I readily, the way things are going, it'll take approximately 50 years to get down where they shall not, N-O-T, any flesh left to destroy. Satan has done a much, just a sixth scenario, he and his angels, has base loaded it. And now what's the agenda of our government? They're bringing in the foreigners. We got to have them here, it seems like. It seems like it's necessary. It's just the and raise the veil of the beauty of us and let her become the harlot. And let all of the strangers rape and loot her. And then she shall bring forth bastards who, the Bible says, will be ruling in this land, and they are now politically becoming a persuasive power, as you very well know, starting in California. Now, I have brothers that live in California, and they tell me it's now gone over to the brown side here, and there's books now being written. Pat Buchanan has a book out on the decline and fall of the West. And he talks about this very same problem here that we're going to talk about tonight and show you that we are in a major war. The war is not with guns and swords, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to tell you that Khrushchev, when he declared and pounded the table with his shoe, he said, we will take this country here. And now, you say, well, yeah, but see, Russia's now a second-rate power. Oh, wait a minute here. When we talk about communism, this is what Khrushchev was talking about. He was talking about the power of communism, how it's spread and how its roots are still running deep into governments and socialism. Great Britain, for example, has now gone socialist. Australia is now how more socialist can you be? So we got the British, the sons of Ish here, from the house of Manasseh. They've already gone over to the communist socialist agenda, and America and our government is promoting, it seems like, in favor of, they make these calls. They seem to tend to just want to actually pick on the blushing race of America. We're racist if we speak out against the problem here. We are fast becoming minority. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, that won't happen for a long time, and we all need to get together anyway, and what's wrong with the white girls going with the Mexican boys, and what's wrong with the black boys going with the white girls, and the white girls going with the black boys, and so on and so forth, and the white boys going with the black girls and the Mexican girls. What's wrong with all this? Well, tonight we're going to discuss it, and we're going to show you that this problem has been in the house of Israel. This ain't, it's nothing new. And the Bible said there's nothing new under the sun, for what is to be has already been. So we're coming back around to the circle where this thing already started. And the far, as the Messiah said, what if I come back and the fire is already kindled? Now what fire was he talking about? The burning urge, if you will, that burning in their lust one for another, to cross these basic kind after kind, break it and bend these rules and go over and mate and socialize in socialism and have all things. We are the world in communism. That's what Khrushchev is talking about. Now, granted, Khrushchev is dead and buried, but the cause that he was a champion of, or the spokesman at that time for Russia, and it was a war between the West and a war between the East. But ladies and gentlemen, was it really a war, or were we already defeated at that time in our Christian principles and ideals? Isn't it strange? A good friend of mine, Dr. Gary, who keeps me informed and updated with a lot of information, sends up my way, just informed me tonight that the religious powers that are, the Christian church, some of the major players on the scene, is now urging the Pope and the Christian Church and Islam to all crawl in the same bed and be one. And that's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, because as the New World Order grows or merges onto the world scene, and she's coming fast, then there has to be a religious blessing, so to speak. And the only way that this religious blessing can have any influence is to unite all the division in religion. And they're fast bridging Jews, Muslim, Christian, Hindu, Buddhist, and that about covers the major religions, you know, in the world. Other, you know, there's a few minor pockets of this and that will always be resistors, or nonconformist. However, the major, and this is what we're talking about, they set the agenda, they call the tune, and we all dance to it whether we want to or not. We're just like the puppets on the string. You know, the true blues, I call them, the identity teachings, we're just a little ripple in the pond. We're not a big enough stone to make any splash in the world. And it's cause and effect. We don't even, we're so small, we're so scattered that we don't even cause any problems here. I know we have a few dissenters and things of this nature that speak out from time to time on the national scene. If you go to David Duke, I think he's the chief spokesman for the white people now, or the white race, really are under the identity persuasion, and yet two-thirds of identity disagree with Mr. Dukes, because Mr. Dukes is, we call him lukewarm. Those that really know the truth, he's a milk drinker, and he's become very popular, very rich, by the way, and now they say that he is more popular in Russia than he was in America. Isn't that strange? Where that there's anti-Semitism building and growing in Russia simply because the white Russian people remember the purge of Stalin and Khrushchev and all these dictators that they've had since the 50s, how that they have killed and massacred literally millions. And if I was to give you the figure, I mean, you can get caught up in 6 million Jews because that is well prophesied or well mediaized and ingrained into us that we actually believe that actually 6 million Jews died in World War II. Well, we know that ain't true. Those that really know the truth know that's not true. And you say, there you go, Pastor Buddy, you're denying it. We saw it on television. Glory to God. Ladies and gentlemen, I just wish, and I know this is going to be impossible, for you to take the time and do your homework and go study. And there is a $50,000 reward out for anybody that can prove that there were 6 million Jews that were gassed in Germany. It just didn't happen. I'm sorry. But we've been made to believe it with all these horrific pictures. Now, there were Jews wrong to that. That's true. And it's true that Hitler was waging war against them. He was driving them out of the country. However, there is no evidence to support that they actually killed 6 million of the Jews. That is just not true. Now, if I was talking to some Jewish person that was there, they would probably have, Pastor Buddy, you wasn't there, you don't know. And I wasn't there, but I'm reading now the alternative history, not the mainstream Judaism and their tales of horror, and they are putting up these monuments all over the world, specifically in Israel. They have the Holocaust Museum. They have several exhibits here in America, wherever the Jews congregate, to remind them and the world, and the media, of course, you know, they're in their hip pocket. And so they help to spread this erroneous information out to the world that 6 million of these guys died. It's not true. It is absolutely a fraud. And so you need to investigate that. I just passed this information on to you. I'm not going to teach on that tonight, but I'm talking about race mixing and the effects of race mixing and how it has altered, it's changed the face of America. America's never, we'll never return to being the same. We are not that white Christian, quote-unquote, free land here in America. We are no longer a white, God-fearing Christian nation, quote-unquote. We're just not that. Now, what are we? We are a melting pot right now of disaster. They're stirring into the pot. It's just like if you would take a can of white paint, beautiful white paint, and then you begin to stir in black and yellow and brown and a mixture of these dominating colors. And if you don't believe that black will dominate white, because there's more of the children of darkness than there's the children of light in this respect. I'm not saying that black is the children of darkness, just using comparison thing. But you take a black man mating with a white woman, the child will always come out black. Kinky haired, and he'll have an afro characteristic about him. His hue will change, his color, and that's why that they're doing this, because they're producing another species upon the earth, and these are more acceptable. And the black don't know it, but he's breeding himself out of existence in his original colors and things. There is a few, as I've indicated before, that knows this is the problem, just like the white folks. So the white folks that know this and the black folks that know this, we ought to get together and form a coalition and speak out against race mixing. And we ought to become a voice of unity across America, that we are in danger of killing both the races, destroying them, utterly destroying them, and that is the agenda of the hidden serpent seed. Now, I'm going to show you how it got in the house of Israel and how it operated. It operated successful. As a snake, it's laid in among the genetics of Israel for hundreds and hundreds of years. Now, here we go. verse 12, and the sons of Judah, Er, Onan, Shelah. Now, I want to particularly go to Shelah. Now, these are the sons that were mixed with Canaanite blood. Now, notice here, we told you last night, and now it goes on between verse 12 and verse 26. All the souls that came with Jacob into Egypt, two of these, the Shaul and Shelah, born of Canaanite blood. This is how Cain went right with, remember Cain came out with Adam and Eve. Are you listening to me tonight? This bastard child. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, he was Adam's son. The Bible says that Adam knew Eve. He did. But I didn't give you the situation here. Once a woman's fertile cycle stops, once she's impregnated, within a cycle, I believe it lasts up to 72, maybe to 80 hours. I think it's around 72, give or take. She's fertile in ovulation, and the eggs that travel, if she's exposed to the sperm, then her eggs is sent down through the natural process, and these eggs and sperm, they swim together, if you will, and then once they enter, once the female takes these eggs into her womb, now she can have up to, I think, 7 children at one time. Isn't that amazing? 7, 8, I don't know. Maybe 10 if she could expand her womb to that. But it's incredible when they take fertility drugs how many they can have. And probably, if you go back to Eve, she was very fertile. I do believe she had fraternal twins, meaning that she had two different fathers to father her seed. Everybody thinks that Adam fathered both of them. Well, not everybody. If you get to identity, they'll tell you real quick. Here's where identity goes wrong. This is where I take issue with identity or the two seed line beliefs. They believe that Adam and Satan, and I'm talking about Christian identity mostly, believe this. This is wrong. But they believe it. They believe that Adam and Satan fathered the children. Now, it's close. But here again, we're not pitching horseshoes. We're trying to get the seed into the barn here, and we're going to have the results after the break. Pastor Buddy, the Shepherd's Call, you come back with us, praise Yahweh, and we're going into the book of Exodus to show you the mixed congregation. Hallelujah. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy. We got a controversial subject on how the serpent got into the house of Israel. They're called Jews today, but they're not. And Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, it tells you that I know that they say they're Jews, but are not, but are liars. 3 and 9 tells you the same thing, to try them. Now, here we go, and we're going to show you just exactly why Christ fought them, or fought with them, why they killed him, and why that they're not God's chosen people, and why that they were not really blind, as you've been told. They knew what they were doing. You just didn't know what you were doing when you believed that. And I believed it for 30 years. Now, if I can be in the weeds for 30 years lost, wandering around, it's possible that you could have been there too. So you can take it from an old pro. I've been down there bumping heads with this for a long time, and I finally came out of the wilderness with a little understanding with some true blues. Now you gotta hear this from a witness, a neighbor. This just don't pop into your head like Ford's got a better idea and a light bulb will turn on. Most of the time it's a result of a witness. You are my witnesses. So Yahweh works through his children to spread the word. And that's why that I work so hard to try to, if you will, pass on what it forever for what it's worth. This information that I have learned about in the last 12 years about my Holy Father. I'm a 12-year-old son here. I'm just the same age he was when he was in the temple and teaching the Pharisees. Well, notice this is what he's teaching them. You want to know why that Christ amazed the Pharisees? because after they had got through changing so many scriptures, Christ still knew who they were. And they were amazed at that. Let me show you here. Let's go over to the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus. We covered this before, but if you are a new student, then you need to know this next scripture here. We're going to look at the Strong's number 6154. Now, if you're a new disciple, or if you're taking notes tonight and you're a student and then you want to go back over and glean and search, I've read scriptures, like 100 times and then finally get the message. So you may have to do this too here. This is in the 37th verse of the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus. I'm going to read the 46th verse to set it up for you. And Yahweh gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Now, when he's talking about the people here, he's talking about the house of Abraham, Jacob here. And unto them such things as are required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel, verse 37, here it is now, mark this. The children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside the children. Now, we've got 600,000 on foot that were men. 600,000. Now, if you count the children and then the women, we got pretty good congregation here. But really, now we're going to get in detail here. Verse 38. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, with their flocks and their herds and very much cattle. Now, that'll take you back to the book of Genesis, chapter 46, verses 10 and 12. This mixed multitude are the Canaanites. And their types are identified. It's put in here purposefully, so that you would know exactly how that the snake got into the house of Israel. This is how they got in there. They've been with us from the very get-go. Where is the best way to start? At start. I mean, if you join the race later, you're going to have to play catch-up. They didn't even have to play catch-up. They've been with us. Satan and his seed has been among us, the tares among the wheat, from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. I hate to say that, but it's the truth. We have the serpent right among us. Yahweh said always, when you would do good, evil's always pleasant. And ladies and gentlemen, you know that darkness and light, although they don't have any fellowship, that darkness always dominates the children of light. They'll put your light out real quick if you will listen to their politically correct agenda that they've got going on in the Bible. This is where the majority of Jacob Israel, the Aryan blushing brothers and sisters, sit, good God, blind, dumb, sitting there asleep, snake venom bit. You know, this venom can put you to sleep. It's deadly cobra stuff here of genetics. And we're sitting idly by in our congregations. We turn an indifferent eye and head, if you will, as the ostrich buries his head in the sand. So then do we as a blushing white race. We want to be, we don't want to be victims of, we don't want to cause others to be victims of our racial hatred and things of this nature. So we tend to just do nothing when we see injustice. We turn an indifferent head, or as I've said, we bury our head and deny it's even there. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to face this. We're coming in 50 years here. I'm warning you. This is Pastor Buddy right now. In 50 years, this is less than, just a little bit more in general, if a generation is 40 years, and we think it may be 50, but in one generation here, one more generation, after this generation, my generation is gone, then the baby boomers are now in vogue, and then after them, here comes this generation that's going to be the final generation for the existence of a white people in the earth. Now, we're going to have to start going to band together and defend our territory if we're going to survive this onslaught by Satan. I know that here in the county that I'm in, we are 96% white. But there's only 30,000 approximately here in the county. 96%, give or take a few. And that's wonderful. But then you go down to Atlanta, 200 miles below me here, and it reverses itself. It's 96 in the other direction. So we are being invaded and systematically destructed because, as I said, the color scheme, the darker colors dominate the white color. And so then we're changing the face. Bill Clinton admitted he wanted to see a brown race. He didn't want to see a black race. And yet most of the blacks supported him because, you know, he gave them welfare and money and stuff, programs, social programs, and tried to elevate their status. And now they're sitting in the government jobs hiring the Mexicans. They ain't hiring the whites. The whites are out here in the slave channels building trailers, rednecking, building trailers and stuff like this, and doing service job, working in restaurants. And all your damn government jobs is being given to these strangers and these heathen. Why? Because they prefer, and the agenda is, the political correct agenda is, hire them over the white race. Ease out the white race and bring in the mixed race. Here they are, verse 38. You can get a load of this, ladies and gentlemen. We got a problem here. A mixed multitude went up also with them. That's mixed multitude is 6154, and it's called a mongrel race, a rib, A-Y-R-E-B, 6154. Look it up. So then, with Israel, came this mixed congregation out with them, and Moses now has the chore. Did you know that Moses led a mixed congregation, that not all that came out with him were true blue Israelites? Oh, they look like Israelites a lot, and they talk like Israelites. They had the same customs, they had the same religion, worshiped the same God, and things of this nature. But they weren't true blue. They weren't genetically pure because the word mixed is Erev, which means mongrelized. Now, hell, let's look at it in reality here. If we don't get this message, we're all going to hell. With all nations that forget Yahweh, but how do you forget him? You forget your kind after kind. You let down your guard, and the first thing you know, guess who comes to dinner? You got your major problem on your hand. You say, well, it ain't come home to me yet. And so I ain't worried. I got to get up and go in the morning, go back to the trailer factory, Pastor Billy. Well, head on out there and redneck and complain and bitch and gripe about the government. But either we're going to have to become the government, or we're going to have to do other things, and we don't want to even go there, praise Yahweh. So here we go. Now, let me show you. Mark that scripture. Now, if you will, let's go over to the book of Numbers, chapter 11, race, Areb, A-Y-R-E-B, 6154. Look it up. So then, with Israel, came this mixed congregation out with them, and Moses now has the chore. Did you know that Moses led a mixed congregation? That not all that came out with him were true blue Israelites? Oh, they look like Israelites a lot, and they talk like Israelites. They had the same customs, they had the same religion, worshiped the same God, and things of this nature. But they weren't true blue. They weren't genetically pure because the word mixed is Erev, which means mongrelized. Now, hell, let's look at it in reality here. If we don't get this message, we're all going to hell. With all nations that forget Yahweh, but how do you forget him? You forget your kind after kind. You let down your guard, and the first thing you know, guess who comes to dinner? You got your major problem on your hand. You say, well, it ain't come home to me yet. And so I ain't worried. I got to get up and go in the morning, go back to the trailer factory, Pastor Billy. Well, head on out there and redneck and complain and bitch and gripe about the government. But either we're going to have to become the government, or we're going to have to do other things, and we don't want to even go there, praise Yahweh. So here we go. Now, let me show you. Mark that scripture. Now, if you will, let's go over to the book of Numbers, chapter 11, and I'll show you what a mixed congregation or a mixed bloodline among the true blues, I'll tell you exactly what it will bring. Chaos, murmuring, complaining, bitching, and grumbling. And what do you hear in America today?
Damn government. I can't get more food stamps. They cut me off this program and I went over to this one and got that. The government's robbing them blind.
You know, we're just a bunch of murmurs and complainers, and I'll show you what started this. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing new. This is old hat here, but we're going to make the same stupid mistake. That's the problem. The sad part about it. I don't care how many preaches. I know I'm not going to be heard, but just by a few. I ever broadcast, I get a few calls. Some of them are new, some are old, but just a few that are saying, Pastor Buddy, preach it. Reach out there and touch someone. We're behind you. We support you. The truth is, we'll stand forever. But we are the minority. I accept that. I know that we're not going to shake the ceiling on the rafters here. Verse 4 of Numbers, chapter 11. I want you to look at this word again. It is exactly the same word and the mixed multitude that was among them fell lusting, and then the children of Israel also wept and said, who's going to give us flesh to eat? The government is failing us. Let's go back to Egypt. What provoked them to start murmuring and complaining? When you get a mixed country, ladies and gentlemen, we have prided ourselves on being, leading the world in racial equality, and that we are not racist here, that everybody has rights. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the biggest mistake. It is the communist agenda to sow this libertarian ideal into America and then create chaos. And out of chaos comes a communist order. Now, if you've ever read the Communist Manifesto, the 10 Planks, ladies and gentlemen, that is exactly where we're at today. We are sowing the seeds of destruction, and 50 years from now, America will be no more. I'm going to repeat that. In 50 years, America will not be the home of a white majority Christian nation. You can't even say Christ or God or Lord or Jesus or whatever you want to in school anymore. You can't pray to our God, a Christian God. What God? I know up here in Kentucky, they banned all the Ten Commandments out of the major buildings, the law offices and the courthouses and things. And so this one individual took it on himself to encourage the business people that were Christian to frame and put the Ten Commandments back into place of business where they could see them. And I noticed that Burger King, for instance, had them on the wall displayed. Ladies and gentlemen, you can display them, but if you don't practice them and do them, it don't do you a bit of good. And so that's what the communist agenda is. To take away, destroy your confidence in the Bible, first of all, discredit it for all these things that they're doing, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell lusting and provoked, and then the children of Israel started moaning and groaning and doing the same thing. That's what we're doing here, and we're sowing the seeds of destruction, and we are going to reap the whirlwind, and I believe that it's not too far down the road until payday. Now, what do you mean by payday, Pastor Buddy? We are going to have a major problem. Now, we're going to the book of Nehemiah. Again, mark the scripture. This is in the same context of the mixed congregation. Now, it came to pass, this is in Nehemiah chapter 13. And I'm going to read verse 3. For the sake of time, I'd like to go over this in detail, but I will just get on verse 3 here, because I want you to again look at the same word, 6154. Now it came to pass that when they had heard the law, now this, ladies and gentlemen, this is Nehemiah. We still got this damn mixed congregation with us here, even after they come back. This is when they came back from Babylon, when Yahweh sent them up after the disobedience for 70 years, and when they come back, guess what? Israel still had the mixed multitude among them. Can you believe that? I mean, I find this amazing. Well, we got them among us today, and we can't do nothing about it. They're not us, and we're not them, and yet we're told that we must suffer them. They're the poor. They're the outcast. They need our jobs. They need our land. They need our daughters. They need our sons. We got to be good to them. You know, you all have got a good heart. You all must take them in and be very good to them and very kind. It's the Christian thing to do. Well, then, 100 years ago, we could stand up and confess the Christian God in our churches and in our assemblies and read from the Bible and learn the four R's, they call it, the reading, the writing, and the arithmetic, as they say it deep down here in the South. And that was sufficient. Then we loved our brothers and our sisters, and we didn't have all this problem. Now we have, I'm telling you, we are in a major chaotic 10-point communist manifesto. Man, she's working like a charm, and the Christian values and principles, oh, we go to the 501(c) where that the preacher gets up and he dares not preach this message. He ain't going to preach this message, ladies and gentlemen. If you're sitting in a bell box, shame on you. After you listen to Pastor Buddy and you go back to these heathen bell boxes, what's a bell box, Brother Buddy? I never heard of one of them. A bell box is where they push a politically correct agenda to the sleeping sheep. Duh, wake up here. It came to pass that when they heard the law, now listen to me here, ladies and gentlemen, when they heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. Well, when they heard the law said for them not to mix. Put the commandments back in the house just so we can look at them. Then we stand there with all these mixtures reading it. What the hell have we sold here? A whirlwind. What are we going to read, Pastor Buddy? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. And she's coming fast, ladies and gentlemen. The destruction, the doom, and failure of America is at hand unless we repent, unless we take back our government offices and send Christian men and women that won't sell out for filthy lucre. Who are going to trust? You send a good man up there and they corrupt him before nightfall. We need a government by the people and for the people that love Yahweh. That's what we need. Now it came to pass that when they heard the law, when they heard the law, you better hear it today before it's too late. You're gonna sing, the fat lady's gonna sing here after a while. It's all gonna be over with crying. The next generation is gonna start weeping, but crying. After a nation sins, and when these sins reach heaven, then God shall judge her. When they heard the law, they separated Israel from the mixed multitude. Verse 23, in those days I saw the Israelites, and here it says Jews, that's the Hebrews, that word Jew is a misnomer there, it's not even in the original text, that had married wives of Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab, and their children spake half the speech of Ashdod and could not speak the Hebrew language, but according to the language of each people, and I contended with them, and I cursed them, makes me want to cuss, I didn't have some we need milk drinkers. I can just cuss real good right here at this point. Are you tired of this? Are you tired of being lied to and deceived by these mixed bastards that's come in and taken over our country and our land? Are you tired of it? Would you want to change the gender or the law? Now, I'm not advocating violence and overthrowing. Don't you do that. That is stupid to the ninth degree. There is time to recover by going to the altar and repenting. Yahweh will take care and turn this around, and we'll become the head and not the tail. But if we don't, then we're headed for certain disaster. We're headed down. I continue with, I curse them. I plucked out their hair. Now, how would you like for a big man about 6'4", Nehemiah, to walk up and get a handful of your hair and just jerk a handful of it out and say, you bastard, damn you to hell, you've mixed here. He made you swear by Yahweh that you would not give your daughters to their sons nor take their daughters into your sons for yourselves. Verse 27, shall we then hearken unto you and do all this great evil to transgress against our God in marrying these strange heathens? Ladies and gentlemen, is anybody going to speak up here? Is anybody going to sound the foghorn in the fog of the stupid, ignorant, superstitious mind of the politically correct agenda bell box hawkers? Or are we going to sit by until it's too late to save the train from the wreck in the gorge? We're going to get gorged, all right. It's going to be a gorge that is, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we are in one of the most perilous times that we've ever lived in. We don't know from one day to the next what in the hell is going to happen. And it's all going to be bad, I guarantee you that. Nothing good's going to come out of this mess. This is Pastor Bubby, the Shepherd's Call. I've enjoyed being with you on this series. We're concluding tonight, How the Serpent Got into the House of Israel. There's many more scriptures that I do on personal teaching that if you'd like to have the video cassette or the audios that we have, then you can order them from Pastor Buddy at the House of Yahweh here tonight. Praise Yahweh. If you'd like to telephone me tonight, I'd like to take your call. Let's talk about these problems here, ladies and gentlemen. And let's spread this news around. Pastor Buddy, area code 423-626-2172. That's 423-626-2172. Or you can write me, Pastor Buddy, at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. And that's all the addresses that you'll need. Area code 423-626-2172 or Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, 37824 is the zip. Well, it's been a pleasure being with you, ladies and gentlemen. I salute you, Jacob Israel. Let's huddle up here. The sheep is in the corral here, and we're having a hard time. If we're going to ever overcome, we need to start changing our ways. And the best way is to get to an old-fashioned altar and pray and seek the face of Yahweh. And if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, I will hear from heaven and hear their land. Yahweh bless you, Jacob.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.